Jillian was awaiting their reactions. Arthur asked if she had any memory of this Erno Erdi, but she shook her head. "And why are you sure he's talking about my client?" he added. "I only issued 2 death sentences, Arthur, and Texas executed the other man." Arthur turned to Pamela, expecting jubilation. But she was examining the envelope Erdi's letter had come in, focused, it appeared, on the postmark. "So, you got this in March?" She was facing Jillian. "You just sat on it for 2 months?" Her confrontational tone surprised Arthur. "I thought more about it after our meeting," Jillian told Arthur. Pamela wasn't satisfied. "But you still haven't gone down there to see this man?" Jillian frowned. "That's not my job, miss. And watching them execute someone who shouldn't be, that is?" "Oh, for God's sake." Arthur shot his hand toward Pamela like a traffic cop. She went silent, but still cast a baleful glance Jillian's way. He asked Jillian if Pamela could copy the letter, and Jillian, whose face was masked by a slender, freckled hand, nodded. As Pamela snatched up the pages, Arthur had no doubt Jillian Sullivan was wondering why she had bothered to come. "What do you feed her, Arthur?" Jillian asked when the door slammed. "High octane?" "She's going to be a great lawyer," he answered. His tone suggested he recognized that was not fully a compliment. "I still get mail forwarded from inmates all the time, Arthur, and all of it's crazy. You know what this is, Arthur, this letter. I know you do. The gangbangers are always up to something." "No Erdi? Sounds white. Rami's black and too weird for any gang to hook up. There's nothing about gangs in his record. They have all kinds of alliances in there. It's like the Wars of the Roses." Arthur shrugged and said the only way to find out was to go to speak to Erdi. "I think you should," she answered. "That's why I brought the letter." "The letter says he wants to talk to you." "Oh, please," Jillian said. "It's not even appropriate for me to go down there." "Look, I don't want to preach," Arthur said, "but this Erdi, he has a point, doesn't he? You made the decisions. You found this man guilty. You sentenced him to death. Don't you have some responsibility if my guy doesn't deserve that?" "Arthur, to be blunt, I've done more than I had to already." She had wrestled it through for several days before deciding to bring him the letter. It was foolish, she knew, to risk any further contact with Raven, who might become more precise with his questions about her past. But she smarted at the memory of that one cruel remark to him. Yearning for nicotine, she stood and wandered to a corner of the room. "How is your sister, Arthur? Is my memory right? Is that who was ill?" "Schizophrenic. I cut her into an assisted living arrangement." "Other sibs?" "It's just Susan and me."
"And when did your mother die?"
"Oh, my mother's hale and hearty. She just washed her hands of all of us 30 years ago when Susan got sick. She went to Mexico for a long time, then wandered back here. She was kind of a free spirit."
"You see her?"
"Now and then, but it's like visiting a distant aunt." Arthur, who had appeared to welcome Jillian's interest in him, nonetheless reverted to his effort to get her to visit Erdi. "I don't know how to talk you into this," he said. I won't ask much. Just smooth away with this guy."
Arthur promised she would not even have to listen to Erdi's story if she chose, and that he would drive her down himself to be certain she made it back and forth from the institution in one day.
"Look, Jillian, I never wanted this case. The court just threw it on me like a saddle, and now I haven't had a day off in 4 weeks. But I'm doing it, you know, my duty, and I have to ask you to help."
Openly plaintive and disarmingly humble, Arthur extended his short arms toward her. He was a nice man, Jillian realized. He'd grown up to be a nice man, someone who'd come to know more of himself than she would have predicted. He knew he was one of life's ardent, eager beavers, a do-right, afraid to do wrong. And he knew, as he'd said last time, there were persons such as she who judged the likes of him boring. Yet that, she suddenly saw, had been her mistake. She had always owed Arthur and those like him a great deal more respect. Realizing that was a step in her rehabilitation. Because it came to her now that rehabilitation was in fact her plan. "I'll go," she said. As soon as the words were uttered, they seemed like precious china knocked from a shelf. Twice with Arthur Raven in as many weeks, some spirit like a woodland elf haunting a tree had spoken for her.